Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading for today will be found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let us pray. We thank thee, our Father, for the privilege which is ours to approach thy throne of grace, to find mercy and to obtain grace to help in time of need. We thank thee that thou hast given us the Lord Jesus Christ as thou eternal mercy seat, and that in his name we can come to thee through that new and living way, through his rent veil, his flesh, and his precious blood, and that we can pour out our hearts unto thee and know that we have access unto thee through Christ. What a blessing, what a mercy to know him, whom to know is life eternal. And we just give thanks to thy holy name today for thy eternal purpose in Christ, and that it please thee that in him should all fullness dwell. And thou hast made us a partaker of his divine nature, and an heir and a joint heir of all that he has and all that he is. Our Father, we do pray for this radio audience, that thou wilt open hearts and ears to thy precious word, and that they too, each one of them, will know what it means to rest in Christ, and to know him as their Lord and their Savior and their Deliverer, the lifter up of their head, the Savior of their never-dying souls. Oh, we do pray for the quickening work of thy Spirit in each and every heart, and that thy word will go home to our hearts in power and in much assurance, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Thank you.
that we praise Him and give Him honor and glory, that He has, by His almighty grace, taken up His abode in our heart and lives within. I praise Him. Oh, the longer I walk with my Lord, the more is my desire to praise Him and to be like Him and to be holy as He is holy, for He has done so much for me. Dear friend, we say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Let us hear from you if we can help you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505 is the zip. Now, our free book that we're giving away this month is entitled Dying Thoughts by Richard Baxter. It's a treatise on the Christian's hope for the life hereafter. You'll want a copy of it. He was a man who came back seemingly from death, was on a deathbed for a long time, and these are the thoughts he had as a child of the living God, and he came back to write them of what what it would mean to go out and meet Christ after death. We want to give you this book free and postpaid if you'll write us. Ask for it by name, Dying Thoughts, The Christian's Hope for the Life Hereafter by Richard Baxter. Again, our mailing address, Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505 is the zip. And now for God's message. We desire to continue today our series of messages on the general theme that we've been on, entitled The True Israel of God. Dear friend, if you have followed us through the first six messages, you have heard us give scriptural proof that the true Israel of God consists not in Abraham's seed after the flesh, for these are not the children of God, according to Romans 9:8. But the true Israel of God consists in the children of the promise given to Abraham through the true seed, who is Christ. This gracious truth is so fully expressed in Galatians 3 in these words. Listen to God's word. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, And these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now the question is asked, when did God give Abraham these promises? That the nations of the earth would be blessed through him, and that his spiritual seed would be Christ, and that those who by faith have trusted him would be heirs with him of the same promises. Follow us now. To answer that question, let us go back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and listen as God speaks to Abraham. When we read the scriptural account of the life of Abraham, we find that there were four promises made to him by God himself. They were first, the promise to make the descendants of Abraham into a great nation. Second, the promise of a great posterity. Third, the promise that Abraham's descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. Fourth, and this is the greatest above them all, the promise of the Messiah. Let us look at each one of these and see how they were fulfilled, and especially that last one concerning the promise of the Messiah, and how we by faith in him had the fulfilling of these promises as the spiritual seed of Abraham. First, then, the promise to make the descendants of Abraham into a great nation. We find this promise in Genesis 12, 1 and 2 in these words. Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I ask the question, was God faithful to perform that which he had spoken? Yes. Some 400 years after his covenant with Abraham, this promise was fulfilled. God had shown Abraham in Genesis 15 that there would be a lapse of 400 years, but the time would come that it was fulfilled. Also, the Lord confirmed the promise to Jacob, Abraham's grandson, in these words in Genesis 46:3. He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. This great promise was fulfilled under the leadership of Moses as the Israelites came forth out of bondage in Egypt, and under Joshua as they achieved their mighty victories in the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 2:25, we read that Moses testified that God caused the other nations to respect the greatness of Israel. Also in Deuteronomy 4, 6, and 7, we read that in exhorting the Israelites to obedience to the God of Abraham, Moses said, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Dear friend, if you would read chapters 8 through 12 of the book of Joshua, you would find that they testify to the unmistakable greatness of the nation of Israel as it marched triumphantly through the land of Canaan. And also King David, looking back on those victories, many, many years later, was moved to cry out to the Lord in 1 Chronicles 17:21, What one nation of the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people. So we see then that this first promise to Abraham was fulfilled. For God had made of Abraham's physical seed a great nation which reached its zenith of power, strength, and glory under the reigns of Kings David and Solomon. Listen to me now. The second promise made to Abraham by God in Genesis is the promise of a great posterity, that his descendants would be too numerous to count. In Genesis 13:16 we read, And I will make of thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. On another occasion, God spoke to Abraham these words in Genesis 15:5. Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. On yet another occasion, God spoke to Abraham on this wise, in Genesis 22:17, As the sand which is upon the seashore, so shall thy seed be. We know without the shadow of a doubt that God fulfilled this promise as his word confirms. Listen to King Solomon speaking in 2 Chronicles 1:9 as he prayed to the Lord. O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Also Moses said to Israel in his day, in Deuteronomy 1:10, The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. And the writer of the book of Hebrews agreed that the promise had been fulfilled, for he said in Hebrews 11:12, Therefore there sprang from Abraham as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. And finally we read that during the reign of Solomon, as recorded in 1 Kings 4:20, that Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude. And again the writer of the Hebrews says, amen to this, that there sprang from Abraham's descendants as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Hebrews 11:12. So we see then that this second promise was also fulfilled by God, that the physical seed of Abraham would be as the dust of the earth, as the sand of the sea, and as the stars of heaven for multitude. Now the third thing promised to Abraham was that Abraham's descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. God repeated this promise to Abraham many times. We read in Genesis 12:7, that God said to Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. Again in Genesis 13:14-15, these words, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Again in Genesis 15:7-18, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it, and unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Again in Genesis 17:8, these words, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I ask the question again, was God faithful to perform that which he had spoken? Yes. Hundreds of years later, the descendants of Abraham went on to possess in peace all the land which the Lord had promised to them. This is the testimony of Scripture. Listen to Joshua 21. Joshua speaking, he said, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Joshua 21:43-45. The question is also asked, did the land they ruled really reach all the way from Egypt to the river Euphrates, as promised by Genesis 15:18? Let 1 Kings 4:21 answer. It says that Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river under the land of the Philistines and under the border of Egypt. Another question is asked, was that river the river Euphrates? The scriptures said it was, because Solomon had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, even from Tipsha, according to 1 Kings 4:24, and Tipsha was located on the Euphrates in Mesopotamia. You may ask, why am I asking these questions and laboring this point? It is because it is proclaimed by many today that God did not keep his promise to Israel at that time, and that they did not rule over all the land, and therefore he must give Christ an earthly reign so that these promises may be fulfilled. But dear friend, they have been fulfilled, and God has kept his word. Are you following us? It remains now for us to look at the fourth promise made to Abraham, and it was the promise of the Messiah. This greatest of all the promises was not expressed to Abraham or to Isaac or to Israel in these terms, of course, but the true meaning of God's word has long ago been established, and that by the New Testament. God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This promise was given to Abraham, Genesis 22:18, to Isaac, in Genesis 26:4, and to Jacob in Genesis 24:14. And the Apostle Paul were shown by divine revelation that the identity of this seed in whom all the nations would be blessed would be the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:16 we read, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ." Dear friend, this is the greatest of all the promises that God gave to Abraham, and that was that God would bless the nations through Abraham, that is, through his seed, and that seed would be Christ. I ask the question, has this promise been fulfilled? Yes, for in Galatians 4:4 we read, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Also in John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yes, Christ came to redeem his people from their sins. He came as the seed of David, according to the flesh. Romans 1:4, as the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:16, and in him all the promises of God are yea, and in him amen, under the glory of God, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20. So you see, all of these promises have been fulfilled, and they are spiritual promises, and they are made to Abraham's seed, who is Christ, and therefore they are made unto us. We who have by faith laid hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are heirs of these promises and rightly called the true Israel of God. Let us go back now to Galatians 3, where we started this message, and look again at these scriptures. In verses 8 and 9 we read, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." We find here then that the only way of blessing is to be a spiritual seed of Abraham, not a physical seed, for the blessings came and come through Christ by the gospel. And this is the promise which God has given unto us in him. The only way which you and I can be partakers of the promises is by the new birth. As 2 Peter 1:4 puts it, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We must be born into the spiritual kingdom of God. And dear friend, this work is accomplished only by the Holy Spirit, who plants in our hearts the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and makes us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born into this kingdom. This the Holy Spirit does by calling us from the grave of sin, Ephesians 2:1-3. Convicting us of the awful sin of unbelief, John 16:7-11, bringing us by the law to shut our mouths and to stand guilty before God, Romans 3:19-20, to cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," Luke 18:13, to work in our hearts that godly sorrow which worketh repentance to salvation, 2 Corinthians 17, and shut us up to the faith way of salvation in Christ, Galatians 3:24, and to reveal Christ in us, Galatians 1:16, so that we may say, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me," Galatians 2:20. Having brought us to Christ, having shown us our guilty, lost condition before God, and having caused us to look away to Christ forever from every false hope. The Holy Spirit brings us by His Word into this realization that we are now heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and therefore we rule and reign with Him upon the earth as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, and that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, according to 1 Peter 2:9. I say, dear friend, hallelujah. Praise His holy and righteous name for His marvelous grace that has made us kings and priests unto God and has given us a part in the first resurrection and therefore called blessed by God Himself. Do you know Christ? Are you a member of His kingdom? Are you a member of the true Israel of God? We're happy that you've been with us today. Write us. And also ask for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled Dying Thoughts. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. And until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.